Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, internet funny man. Co-hosting me, we got William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
God damn it, where have you been, son?
I've been busy, man, but I'm glad to be back.
Back we've after a 20-year absence.
20 years, at least.
We've also got Jessica Carrato of indie development fame.
Gentlemen.
And I want to just take a minute before we start the show here. As of right now, as I'm saying this, Craig Reed... let me say this. Craig Reed has been the best editor we've ever had on this show. He's edited longer and harder and better than any other editor we've ever had, right?
Yep.
So I sent him a text, in the Dropbox. We have a Dropbox to share our audio. I put him a little message that said, Craig Reed, great job. I think you've been the best editor we've ever had. Since I posted that message, Craig Reed has failed to edit the show for over a week. I dare say the curse has struck in again. Craig Reed may be dead.
That happens.
So hopefully this is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, August 17th, 2011.
You know what this
dude, you know what that reminds me of, by the way? This What's is a that? Sad story. When I was a little kid, Justin Fick had a guinea pig. I love that guinea pig.
No one should ever give you a pet ever.
Dude, the guinea pig's name was Mustafa Biscuit. It was an awesome guinea pig. So Justin Fick goes on vacation when he was a kid, dad's business trip or wherever. And we get someone to watch the guinea pig. And I left her a little note saying thank you for feeding and giving water to my guinea pig. I was a little kid.
Okay.
And I come back. She forgot to give water to my guinea pig. It was fucking dead. I don't know.
Is Craig Reed your dead guinea pig? Is that what you're getting at?
Craig Reed forgot to water my guinea pig.
I think this just means that we need to treat all of our editors, present and future, like shit, so that they'll stay around.
Yeah, as soon as I was nice to Craig Reed, fucking fell apart.
Yeah, it's done. Like, we can't take it back. We're going to have to get a new one now.
See, here's the thing, like, you know, my brother and my sister, Curtis Fick and Erica Fick, also had, you know, Curtis Fick had a guinea pig, Erica Fick had a little tiny hamster, they didn't leave no notes, and their pets got fed and watered, mine didn't, which is just mine died.
This explains
the more
a lot
you want it.
About Justin Fick.
I'm still upset about this, like, 30 years later.
Whoever was my babysitter at 8, fuck you, cunt. Who has got our first news? Good lord.
I'll kick us off. So, Nintendo is being pressured to bring Mario to iOS. So, their investors are pushing the publisher to bring their franchises to Apple's platforms.
Oh, lord.
So, honestly, I kind of think it's a good idea. I think it's about damn time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nintendo is the proudest company in the video game industry. Like, prouder than like hentai porn 3D. Like what? The worst shit you can ever imagine. They are prouder than that.
Well, they're one of those.
It will
like,
never happen.
Japanese, you know, company city states.
Oh, just a bit. Where is it? I got it. Wow. Oh, wait, just talk for a second so I can pull it up.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, Nintendo is kind of like, they're the last samurai. They're going to be holding out when the rest of the world has moved on. They're just gonna commit seppuku. So, I mean, this is after, you know, sort of a weakness in their, you know, in their market after the 3DS, and you know, people aren't super hyped about the Wii U yet. So,
and after Hiroshi Yamauchi became Matlock, it's been a long time since you've been on the show, William Miller.
It has. I saw the Matlock theme song go up on the Dropbox, so I knew.
All you need to know is that Hiroshi Yamauchi is Matlock. That's basically the gist of this.
Got it.
So what does this mean, Justin Fick?
I don't know. I mean, it's not the first time that one of these it's not the first time something like this is happening. I mean, the iOS is getting an official Pokemon game. It's not Pokemon itself, but it's a Pokemon game. So, I don't know. I mean, Sega's doing it. I mean, Sega's putting out games on this platform with really great success. So, I see no reason why, Nintendo can't throw up a fucking ROM player and, charge like $3 to $5 per game.
But Nintendo is the proudest company in the gaming industry. They've never put their... I mean, okay, Sony's had these iOS devices. Xbox has had Windows Mobile and all this stuff. Nintendo has never, ever, ever even remotely compromised their platform integrity, even the tiniest bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like Apple hasn't either. They're a hardware company at the heart. Like, they make their money selling the hardware, not necessarily the software, which is why they haven't done that. It's the same way why, Mac OS X does not run on a Windows machine officially. The same reason.
I mean, I can get behind that, but at the same time, I feel like Nintendo is a bit of an elitist. They put it where no one, it's not on no other platforms. You can never get it if you're not, in the Nintendo camp. Is it time that they come to iOS?
No, again, because it compromises their hardware, which is where they make most of their, it's a financial decision at the heart of it. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. It's just hard. It's the hardware makes them the money. So if they give their software away on the iPhone, which everybody else has, then their hardware sales take a hit and they lose money. It's financial.
Well, it's a move that Sega did when, after they got out of the hardware market, which, I think Nintendo's kind of staring down that barrel. I mean, they've marked down their 3D, the 3DS by like $80. If the Wii U isn't a breakout fucking hit, they're gonna be in a lot of trouble. I mean, this is their main handheld that's kind of faltering, and their console, which kind of falters. So, why not become a software company?
I mean, we did say this about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, but it's like, maybe 3 or 4 months ago was shit or get off the pot Nintendo time. It's definitely get off the shit or get off the pot time now for Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, unless games start coming out for the 3DS that make it a worthwhile buy, because that kind of happened with the DS. Like, the original DS didn't have shit when it came out, but it became a good platform. If that doesn't happen to the 3DS, and if the Wii U has a weak launch, they're in a lot of trouble.
So what do you think's going to happen, William Miller? Do you think that Nintendo is going to continue and be able to hold on to this idea of first-party perfection, or do you think that they're going to become a Sega and just falter and have to sell out?
Well, that all depends on the success of their hardware. And like you said, it's shit or get off the pot time. I think they've actually made their move, and it's now time to see whether third-party developers pick up the mantle and start, developing for their platform. I guess they haven't made their move entirely. It'll depend on how they evangelize the Wii U. If the Wii U is successful, that's going to be a wave they can ride for a while. They need to evangelize that 3DS, but the thing makes my eyes bleed. That's a problem. So
it does not make your eyes bleed.
So I got Legend of Zelda, the 64, Legend of Zelda. I played
Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3DS.
That's right. I got that. And, I love that game to death. But man, I play the game for 15 minutes on that 3D and my eyes hurt. I'm just like, my brain just rejects
people
it.
People said that about the Virtual Boy too, all right? And I think
it's an underrated platform, damn it.
Yeah, there were 14 games on it in the United States and I have 8 of them.
that's what blows my mind. Like, Nintendo did this already, and it's not because their games were red that people didn't like them.
I think that 3D can work. I think that 3D can work, and I don't think that the Virtual Boy was such a bad console. I feel like it was ahead of its time, and I think that the 3DS is right on the market, right on the nose of what people want right now. But the thing is that they're not driving their first party development, their new innovative first party development enough.
Well, I don't think anything is going to be good enough. Like, I think if Nintendo's first, like, if they reconstitute R&D1 tomorrow, and they're like, all right, R&D1, make me a brand new Nintendo tape, something nobody's ever seen before, everybody's going to hate it. Because the expectation is so high. If it ain't Mario, not necessarily.
I mean, stuff like stuff like Pikmin, for instance, you know, isn't, you know, it was a new IP, and, you know, it wasn't spectacular, but it was new IP and it was cool.
It was commercial failure, is what it was. Nobody knew what to think of that.
No, it wasn't commercial. They made a sequel.
It got a sequel, so it's not a total failure.
I guess, but they made a sequel because Shigeru wanted to make a sequel. That's it.
And they just let him do whatever he wants. In my mind, he's like Blake Buck on like Adderall all the time. He's just like, oh yes, today we'll make this.
And the investors are like, oh God, stop making Pikmin, you son of a bitch. We're all going under. We can't take Pikmin 8.
No, I think that Nintendo, if they wanted to make a new IP, they could. And in fact, that would be healthy for their company. But they're trying to play it safe. And I don't think that, I can understand why you would want to play it safe. But I think right now as a company, they should be taking the risk, at least in some small way. Look at a company like Grasshopper, who's doing wild, crazy things on their platform, right? That's what they should be doing. Maybe they're failing, maybe they're not, but at least they're taking the risk. I feel like Nintendo is trying to play it too safe, and because of that, they're not gonna make it happen this console generation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they also have. I would say if the 3DS really does tank, I think they got one more shot at a portable.
True.
I mean, you know, between now and the Wii U, they probably have enough time for a revision of it or just a rethink if things go really bad. I mean, I would say they have one more shot. Like, this was their mulligan.
Yeah, they've got one PSP Go left in them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they do. I honestly don't think they do. I think they have time to manufacture one. I don't think they have time to market and sell one.
Oh, come on.
I don't think they have time.
Look, you forget how much money they've made in the past 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
still sitting on a nest egg that can take some hits.
But when you factor in the kind of hardware fragmentation that introducing an entirely new portable platform would generate, now that people have started developing for the 3DS and are still developing for the DS, like, I just don't think...
Well, I mean, not entirely new, but just another DS is what I mean.
I think Justin Vick's point, and also my point, is that Nintendo has time to make more mistakes. It's not, I mean, sure, it's get off the pot time, but they've got time. It's not like Sony's Vita, which either has to succeed or it will just be a fucking nightmare.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to be as relevant for as long as you think. I mean, maybe The only way I could see that happening is if the Wii U comes out and it holds them over until they can make another portable hit. I could see that happening. I can't see them making another portable between now and the time the Wii U comes out.
And honestly, with the Wii U, I don't see that being, you know, a holding over kind of thing either. It's either going to be the next big thing in console games or it's just going to be a disaster.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be any sort of middle ground with that.
Yep, I agree.
These are interesting times. It's you know, Nintendo has been a staple of the industry for, you know, 15, 20 years, but it's like it's really like in 12 months we will know if Nintendo is still going to be a player or not.
Well, I think they always will be a player. I mean, they'll always be at least a software company. I think if they completely tank with their hardware.
Sure, I mean, sure. Just like Sega's still a player, and Shenmue 3 is still coming out. God, I wish.
But dude, like, I would buy the shit out of Nintendo games on my iPhone if I could.
Yeah.
That's true.
And, you know, Square Enix has seen excellent revenue on the mobile platform. Like, but, again, like, they're not tied to their hardware. Like, I think if Nintendo were to do that, they would have to accept an existence that is far less than what they are right now. And to do that would mean, you know, some people at the top would have to kill themselves.
You mean like Yamuchi?
I set him up, Blake Buck, and you knock him down.
All right, we got to move on. We got to move on. Battlefield 3 for PC will require Origin. Retail copies of the first-person shooter will still need Electronic Arts' digital distribution scheme installed in order to run. So Origin is because I got an email from them. They're like, "Hey, Blake, you're a member of Origin now. Welcome to the club. You got all these benefits." Oh, really? Or are you just continuing to market it to me? But Battlefield 3 is coming to a long list of digital retailers in addition to Origin, but there's no avoiding that Electronic Arts' own digital distribution service for PC gamers is setting some players for the military. So basically, this is their online scheme that they've just moved to, and they've sort of been implementing for a while. This is sort of the big push, and I wish I knew if this was totally online like Steam or not. I wish I knew the comparisons between the two. I should probably have, you know, read before we started the show. But what do you think? I mean, EA's pushing their online store. Do you think it can compete with Steam?
That's a no.
Long silence and no.
Insert crickets.
Well, it says here, the tactic to push EA's new social networking store platform is not a new one. Valve has been requiring Steam to be installed on PCs since Half-Life 2 in 2004. Regardless of whether the game was acquired digitally or through a retailer, Blizzard insists that World of Warcraft and StarCraft 2 players use Battle.net. So, I mean, we are seeing it's like Battle.net, Steam, and apparently Origin is the next thing. Is this a good thing?
I think it's the move that a lot of these companies are going to start making. I mean, that's sort of the I'd say next big thing. But you know, after you're done selling your games for $60 a pop and $70 a pop for special editions, and you know, you start making them social networks where you know you can start cross selling and selling additional features and you know.
But just including
social elements, I'm not a fan of it either. Just give me, you know, just give me a console-centric Xbox Live, and I'm cool.
William Miller, quit coding and tell us what you think. He sounds so miserable. Oh.
Y'all know I can't talk about this.
Oh, that's true.
Look, Craig Reed, or whoever has this edits this show eventually. You cut this out. Look.
Well, now that William Miller has told us how much he loves Origin, William Miller, what's your news for us?
Oh, shit. I got to find it here. where'd it go?
Minimize code. Maximize Google Chrome.
So much porn everywhere.
Pop-ups.
Oh, God.
Why? Like, honestly, why do you do this show? You don't pay attention. You're never here. And when you are here, you're not. You're like, you're clicking on pornography. What? You're fired. Get out.
If only you could fire me, Blake Buck.
Yeah, if only that were possible.
I made you. All right. So my news. Everybody gobbled up all the other news because I'm so damn apathetic about. Yeah, I told Blake Buck I'm coming in hot, and he's like, "No, I want you to get some news." I'm like, "Man, I don't want to do that."
You're like Con Air landing.
that's just how I roll. So anyway, I'm stuck with this news. Age of Conan doubles its revenue since going free to play.
Wow, that's bad news.
That's bad news, but. It highlights, you know, this game sucked, and they changed the model, and now it's double. Why doesn't everybody? Why in World of Warcraft doing this right now?
Wait. What does that mean? What is that? This model sucked. Now it's double. What does that mean?
Well, the model originally was you pay $60 and then $15 a month, just like you know, WoW or whatever.
Sure.
Standard MMO pricing scheme, and then they said, all right, well. Now you get to play everything for free, and you can buy in-game items. We're going to make our money through microtransactions, similar to how Facebook games do it. And their revenue doubled. Done.
Now, can we hit pause for a second on this? Last week, me and Fick were talking about how Diablo 3, it's been confirmed now, they're going to have an auction house where you can just like on eBay, you know, people buy characters and items and whatnot. You're going to be able to do, you know, microtransactions the same way.
Yeah, I saw the video that real angry nerd, real mad about that.
Oh, so you listen to another person's podcast, but not your own. You fuck!
No, I just listened to it.
Get out!
Because Vic told me to about 10 minutes ago.
My question to you is this. Is that, because we kind of went back and forth on this. Is that a good design decision to be like, we're going to capitalize on these microtransactions that are already happening? Or does that dilute your game with money and you're throwing your design to the wayside?
Well, let me ask you this, Blake Book. I'm going to give you a box, a magic box. Okay.
I love boxes.
You can put it in your house, and you push a button on that box, and it'll print you money.
Oh, I love that.
Would you take it if I gave it to you? Would you take the box that prints money?
I would, but I might not play World of Warcraft at the same time.
I'm just saying. Like, if I'm Blizzard and I see that box that prints money, I'm going to jump on it.
Well, but it does dilute your game. It does ruin your game.
But
and I can understand
cares?
Why.
The game is it's a single-player game. It's not like you're cheating. I mean,
no, it actually is a massively multiplayer online.
Okay,
game.
Oh, you have all right. You have PvP just like you did in Diablo 2. Eventually, all right. You have that. That's
no Diablo 2 had that day one, but all right. Well, keep going.
Okay, fine. So you have PvP. Okay, but it's not an MMO. It's like the vast majority of players are playing this game single player. And then
is that true? Now you say that like that's like 100% true. Do you think?
I'm saying that based on metrics that suggest the vast majority of MMO players don't ever play with anybody else. You yourself are an excellent example of that. When you played WoW, you didn't play with anybody. You went out and did
that's because
yourself.
I don't know how to interact with other people, and I have no friends.
Exactly. This is just like almost everybody else that plays those games. So that's fine. They said they're going to embrace that. They're making the majority of the game single player. And then they're going to give these, you know, specialty options to people who are power players. For a little extra price, you can get these prestige items. I think that's fine. I don't see what's wrong with that.
You've ruined the game.
No, you haven't ruined
the game.
You've
taken the game and you've made it about money now. It's not about skill. It's not about how many hours you put into it. It's about how much money you have. You've ruined the game. You've taken your game dynamics and you've thrown them into the Jews!
I mean, for me, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, take Diablo 2, which is an endless fucking grind, and this, you know, like, just fucking, you know, just farming the same boss over and over again for these, you know, for these super rare items. Diablo 3 is going to be the same thing, only there's going to be a used car salesman standing right behind me saying, hey, you know what, you can skip all this anytime you want, just give me 10 bucks, anytime you want, dude. Anytime you want. Whenever you're ready,
I don't want to sound like a cynic, but it ruins the game. The game is ruined. Diablo 3, thumbs down. Fuck you, Blizzard.
Now, hang on. I'm going to get a little systemic here. In the original Diablo, you had equip requirements for all weapons.
Sure.
And all armor. You had to be a certain level. You had to have invested in certain trees in order to equip
those weapons. But even then, items were still rare and difficult to get.
Absolutely. They were, but what I'm saying is you can't cheat too bad if they keep the same requirements. You can go on the store and you can see the Uber blade of, you know, ass-whooping 5,000. You may be able to purchase that for $10, but you're not going to be able to use it until you grind the shit out of your character anyway. I mean,
you're trying to throw Blizzard a bone here, and I don't think they deserve it.
I don't really know how they've done this. It could be that the weapons do totally break the game, in which case, you know, I wouldn't really like that. But if I were guy designing this, that's how I would set it up. I'd say
I don't think Blizzard is careless enough to have this be a change that breaks the game or ruins the game. But you know, for people like me anyway, it kind of ruins the mood, you know, like,
well,
like I said, like, I want to be able to play Diablo without being, you know, feeling like I'm being sold something every couple of minutes. Like, you know,
I do agree with William Miller in the sense that this will come down to like very real logistics, and it's not clear how these logistics will work yet. And if the logistics work poorly, then I will agree with Justin Fick. And if the logistics work poorly in another way, I will agree with Wayne Miller. So it remains to be seen totally how this will work.
Well, I think there are two things I'm going to make assumptions about. Blizzard, pays meticulous attention to balance and detail. I mean, the whole reason they haven't released Diablo 3 yet is because it's not balanced. I'd be really surprised if they introduced any element, whether you pay for it or not, that breaks their game.
The key is not, they're not going to break their own game, but I feel like they'll take it to a place that I do not like.
And
where just a little investment will get me a few hours ahead. That's bad for a game. If like I can pay some money and get a couple hours ahead, because that denies me those hours of achievement and enjoyment. Or maybe, you know, we can talk about this too, Justin Fick, because we were talking about Jonathan Blow and how pretentious he is. But like, sometimes it feels good to work a couple of hours and get an item, and you feel good about that.
I see. Right?
Here's where I would chime in. Is I would say it's the act of selling you something to skip you of three boring hours of grinding is not the bad thing in that design. The bad thing in that design is making you grind for three boring hours in the first place.
Right.
Well, there is absolutely, like Blake is alluding to, there is catharsis in grinding. Like when you hit a level in Diablo that's real hard, and then you go grind Dan a little bit.
That goddamn swamp level. The swamp.
So you go grind, and then you come back to the swamp level, and you kick its ass. That feels really good. And you can't have that feeling without having a little bit of adversity and a little bit of time investment. And I think for as many cool items as Blizzard is going to sell in this marketplace, there are going to be an equal number of cool items that you can get through the game playing it normally. I would
imagine that every item that they're selling for real money can also be achieved in the real game, at least to start.
Yeah, it seems like these kinds of problems that we're talking about here, the problems that we have with this, have probably been thought of by Blizzard. These guys are pretty good at making games. I'm just saying, these are smart people. They probably thought of this and have taken care of it in some way that will satisfy you.
I mean, the other thing too is, you know, just like you said, here's this box that prints money. You know, people might slip up a little bit when they're busy installing that box in their company. They might cut a couple corners in other places so they can get that box working.
I don't think that
Diablo 3 is going to be a disaster because of it, but you know, I don't think it's going to be it's not going to have the same goodwill that Diablo 2 had.
It seems really easy to do. I mean, it's exactly like balancing merchants.
You know what I think this all boils down to? William Miller has a job and money, and Blake Buck and Justin Fick don't.
Yeah.
He's like, this is fine. We're like, we're poor as shit.
Do not dangle this sword in front of my face for $5. It's either the sword or Top Ramen. I have to have one. I must choose.
I think this is not a very difficult design problem. And those guys are smart. Like, if this was put in my game, not necessarily the game I'm making right now, but any game I work on, if this option was put in there, I'm confident that as a designer, I could figure out a way to make it work without pissing people off. I think I could do that. And I think they could do that too. And that's all I'm saying. I don't think it's this big of a deal.
All right. We'll see.
I've worked on a couple of these games.
Oh, you worked on games that are entirely this. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, but I mean the thing is they still deal with the problem of, you know, how expensive should this be to not piss people off. And
yeah, and I, you know, and I look, Justin Fick, I can definitely understand a reactionary perspective to this. Like if I'd worked on a bunch of, you know, Freeverse, you know, money making tapes, I would be pissed off too, but I think that there's a balance there that we could strike because people want to do this or else they wouldn't. So there's a demand out there that we should satisfy, and why not make a little money off of it at the same time?
Well, I think it's not so much that people in general want this. It's just when you make a game free to play like this, it increases the size of your net by a factor of like 1,000. You know, so there's 1,000 times as many people playing the game now. So you don't need the same number of people that want to pay you money. You know, you just need a small fraction. Right. And really the money from these games comes from, you know, it's, you know, think, you know, talking about, you know, Age of Conan, you know, it's probably not, you know, everyone is not buying shit in Age of Conan. Like, really where the money is coming from is, you know, the very small percentage of people that spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on shit in Age of Conan. I mean, the industry even has a term for this. They're called whales.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's you know, it's the whales that really push the, you know, so you're really only banking off of the income from a couple people who are giving you and hundreds and thousands of dollars.
And not to be an asshole, but World of Warcraft sales right now are kind of down. I mean, their subscribers, they hit the 12 million, and since Lich King, isn't that the new one? Lich King, I think? I have no idea. Since Space Station Silicon Valley, their numbers are down. And, I mean, it seems smart to pursue these alternative options.
Just that's because World of Warcraft is topped out. They got everyone in the United States as a subscriber.
No, they don't.
All they can go is down.
I mean, you guys say this, but I mean, look, they got to 12 million after Lich King, and now they've gone back to, like, I think 11 or so. I mean, they're not what they used to be, and more aggressive marketing tactics seem to make sense.
Jessica, I think you're off a little bit on your revenue model. I think there are whales out there, and it's real easy for us to point at them and say, this is where our money comes from. But I think
the companies themselves have said, this is where the money comes from.
I don't think that's true. I mean,
Jessica, you worked at that company for years.
I worked at one of them.
I mean, I know that, well, look, I have my connections.
I can say what I say with pretty good confidence.
And that may be true in the mobile market or the specific games that you worked on, but I think the majority of these social games get their money because of the massive amount of people. It's like you said, there's so many more people that play, and if, you know, 10% of those spend a dollar every day, that's where the money comes from. Not these people that spend thousands of dollars a day. It's the people that spend $1 occasionally. But because there are so much of them, the volume is so high, that's where your money comes from.
That's, you know, like the first thing I said is, you know, when you make a game free to play like that, you're increasing the number of people that play your game by a factor of 1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So the amount of people that like the game enough to pay for it, it goes down, but it's a smaller percentage of a massive number.
Exactly. But, I think that's where it is. It's not.
So, yeah, that's not incorrect. But, yeah, you know, I mean, and maybe it's different from, I'm assuming you're talking about Zynga.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Zynga has billion, you know, probably, you know, the entire population of the earth playing Farmville.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's so for them, it might be different. But from the companies that I've heard, the majority of their income comes from the people who are paying, you know, thousands of dollars.
Can we also just hit pause for a second? Because I swear to God, this really pisses me off that we've had this show for so long and we haven't discussed this. How the fuck do you say that company's name? Zynga? Zynga?
Zynga.
Zynga?
Zynga.
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 Yes.
Zynga. Okay. Who's got some fucking news? Good Lord.
I got some fucking news. And this leads right into my next news. So speaking of Zynga, they are
fuck
now
you,
on...
users.
See that really is the core of the free-to-play model. Just fuck you, users. Alright, anyway. Speaking of fucking users, Google Plus has added games to their service. And their initial lineup includes some Zynga. Also, Angry Birds, Dragon Age Legends, and Bejeweled Blitz are in their launch lineup, if you will. So, it's not for all users yet. It's just a fraction will have a games tab up at the top of their Google Plus homepage. And you go there, and it's got like about, you know, like a dozen or so games. I'm actually going to see if I have it right now. Google Plus. But I do not. But yeah, so it's, you know, I mean, it's kind of a quick rollout when you compare it to, you know, Facebook. I mean, Google Plus within, you know, when did it launch? Like, a, you know, like a month or two ago?
No. So, oh my God, no! It's been like a year.
No, dude. Like maybe 2 months.
Okay,
tops.
Maybe not. No, Google. Well, oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Google Chrome.
I'm thinking of a Google search engine. It's been around forever.
Oh, I was thinking of Google.com. Man, man, back in the day, Alta Vista. Babblefish. No, I guess it was about a month or two ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they're definitely trying to hit the ground running. I mean, it's they're still a ways behind Facebook. Some numbers for you. I mean, it's, you know, Google Plus is still invite only, technically. But it's, you know, it's got 25 million users compared to, you know, in like 2 months compared to Facebook's 750 million.
Yeah, can I just say this right now? At least as of right now, and as of, you know, whatever, what's today? August 11th, 2011. Fuck Google Chrome. Or Google Plus. I mean, honestly, it just feels, at least right now, maybe 2 months from now, it'll be way different, but it's just, it's derivative of other social networks.
Dude, I love Google Plus. It's
oh, Facebook. What? You just got on it fucking yesterday. I got a fucking, oh, William Miller has added you a fucking, get out. I've been on this shit for years. Get out.
I've been on this shit for years. I just now added your stupid ass to my
circle. You put me under, like, losers, the circle.
Homeless. Boom.
I got a job at the National Weather Service.
Look, Google Plus is cool because it's Facebook without all the shit I don't like. They ripped the cruft out, and it's like almost Twitter. It's that bare bones, and I like that. I appreciate that. That's all I really want.
I also like the ability to hide a bunch of people at once if I so desire.
Yeah, the filtering is good.
Facebook has gotten completely out of control.
Yeah, because I think
I've hid like 100 people on Facebook individually over the last year.
I have a circle on Google Plus. I have a circle on Google Plus called Monglers, and I put fucking TK and fucking you assholes in there.
Yeah, I got Monglers too.
Just fucking hide it. I don't even want to see it. Blake, where's the new show? Fuck you, I'm drinking.
I have poor drunk assholes. Blake.
I'm the only one in there.
No, give me 2 or 3 months. I'll be there too. Especially if I keep buying these swords instead of Top Ramen.
You need those swords.
So do you think... But Google Plus does stand to overtake Facebook, if not even, you know, browsers in general as a games hub. I think they have the potential.
I mean, they kind of have the advantage of being the latest one to the party here. I mean, it's kind of a counterintuitive thing, but they can kind of see where, you know, everyone else fucks up. Like, for instance, you know, like they let you turn game shit off in your feed with a click. You know, so you're not fucking spammed with, you know, like Farmville, like, oh, you know, Blake Buck's sheep has AIDS. Will you please log in and help it? And
I did not do that. I never even fucking saw that sheep.
So, I mean, they kind of learned from a lot of Facebook's mistakes. So, I don't know. It could work out. I mean,
at the end of the day, Facebook is still cool and Google Plus is not cool. It's not cool yet.
Honestly, like it's kind of the other way around to me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, Google Plus is kind of lost its luster a little bit to me. Like, you know, I was into it hardcore in the beginning. Did all the hangouts and shit like that, and it was a lot of fun. And you know,
let's do this show over Hangout. Fuck Skype. We're getting on Hangout now.
A Hangout live show. So I don't know.
Me and Miller would have responded to that if he weren't coding.
I don't know what Hangout is. I don't know what that is. What does that mean?
I think that's the problem with Google Plus. There's like it's like compared to like Facebook, which is in my mind fairly simple to understand. Google Plus, like you got the circles, you got the Hangout. It's a little more. There's a little like somebody's got to sit me down and be like, "Okay, Blake, you old woman, let me tell you about this thing." Oh man, I was also thinking about this. Because I went to a dinner with a whole bunch of drunk old people today, and I was thinking about this. Our generation is much more accustomed to learning, like, new technology leaps than old people, right? We just assume we have to learn a new thing every 4 or 5 years, because that's what we've been grown up on. Man, like, I went to dinner with my mom's friends, and they're like, "Internet? What?" You said, like... Like, I feel like we're better equipped to deal with this Google Plus thing than they are.
Well, we know what a computer is, for one thing. That helps.
It's one of those things, like, once you get behind the curve, you're just fucked.
Yeah.
So, what else you got for us, Jessica? Any other details on this?
No, that's about it. That's enough of that heat.
William, you got any more stories, or were you sleeping when we were prepping?
Fuck no.
Just Dance sells 2 million. Just Dance 2 sells 5 million copies in the United States. Nintendo touts new sales figures for Wii exclusive dancing game. Title becomes system's eighth game to sell 5 million units in the region. So this is Just Dance 2 on the Wii, the eighth highest selling, I guess, Wii game of all time.
Good Lord.
Wow.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Explain this to me, Blake Buck. What do you do in Just Dance? Like, I've seen the commercials and, like, Lady Gaga.
Well, if I had to guess,
what do you?
If I had to guess what you just do in this game.
Explain the mechanics of this to me. Like, how does the controller work? Like, what are you dancing? Can you do this on the couch?
What? You just dance, all right, and you win. It's not a stretch to say that Ubisoft's franchise owns the boogie game genre. The next closest competitor, Harmonix Dance Central, has gone platinum, but isn't close to the French publisher's series. Today, the gap was extended as Nintendo has announced that Just Dance 2 has sold 5 million. 5 million. Oh, by the way, can we take a quick, like, bloop, 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 applause here? Justin Fick, last week you said that Minecraft has sold 10 million copies. And then I saw online that
they have 10 million registered users. I think their sales are closer to like 2 million, maybe?
Yeah, no, they just hit 3 million, I think.
Okay, damn.
Okay. But still, I thought I was mistaken last week. Anyway, point being, imagine that Minecraft, 3 million, Just Dance, 2. That game has sold 5 million copies. Becoming the eighth Wii title to reach that landmark. The milestone was reached in July. They sold 122,000 units at retail, according to NPD. Well, that's not 5 million. Oh, in July they sold 122,000. I see. So Nintendo was also providing... You know, I guess if you got a Wii, you're like, I just want to dance. And you buy that game. I guess that's what happens.
Yeah, I think that's just because there are more Wiis than Kinects. I think it probably scales appropriately to the number of
That's not true at all. There's way more Wiis than Kinects out there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there are more Wiis than Kinects, so Just Dance sold more than the Kinect.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Plus, all the Wii owners are fucking bored. we haven't gotten a good game in, like, 10 years.
Or at least fucking 3. What, Metroid Prime, whatever, I don't know, Dickhole Melter? I don't even remember what it was called.
That game sucked.
I loved Dickhole Melter. But no, I think that this
I
is,
got maybe halfway through Prime 3 and gave up.
Yeah, I think this is like...
I just lost interest in it.
As soon as I heard Samus speak, that was it. I am done.
Anyway, that's all. What's his name's fault?
Yeah, it's the Devil May Cry.
No.
You're
boy.
You're thinking of Other M now.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, that's what I mean.
What's Other M?
Okay. That game was even worse.
God, it's been so long we can't remember. What's his name? Our hero.
Itagaki.
Thank you. Thank God. I'm sorry, Itagaki.
I'm like, surely you guys haven't forgotten Itagaki. It can't be him.
But, you know, I don't want to say the Wii is a shit console, but, man, the Wii is a shit console if fucking Just Dance 2 sold the eighth highest number of copies of any game ever.
You know, don't forget that a lot of Wii owners are not gamers. You know, it's people who bought it for Wii Sports and...
But you know what? Let's hit pause for a second here, too. Fuck that, right? Because... Even if you're not a gamer, you should know what good games are. I'm gonna go out on a wild limb here and say Just Dance 2, not a great game.
No, it's not very good.
But It sells because it has the word dance and just in the title.
But I mean, you know, it's, the iOS market alone is proof that shit games can sell a lot of copies. So you just got to hit the right nerves.
Yeah. Let's go buy Jonathan Blow's game. I swear to God, we're going to have our Jonathan Blow discussion, Justin Fick. Oh, it's happening.
Did I miss that? Did I miss that?
Oh, Jonathan dude, Blow no, it's coming. Don't you just calm down. It's coming.
Okay, good.
Justin Fick, you got any more news for us?
I got one more. So we mentioned Minecraft. Minecon tickets are now on sale. So we mentioned this last week. There's going to be a Minecraft convention called Minecon in Las Vegas. This is going to happen November 18th and the 19th. And you can buy tickets to this two-day event for $99 each.
Oh. And a bitch ain't one.
That's five times what you paid for Minecraft itself.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That's 33 Sneak Kings. Come on.
You don't know that. You just made that up.
That's 25. That's 25 of the old Sneak Kings. I think Sneak King has since gone the way of the Bitcoin. It's worthless now.
Yeah, after our AAA status got downgraded, the Sneak King index.
the Sneak King plummeted. It's never come back.
It's like the fucking Dow watching it today.
Oh, you were, huh?
Yeah, I fucking read books. Justin Pick, keep going before he points out that I don't read books.
So, another interesting point here is no one under the age of 16 is allowed to attend Minecon. So this is adults-only Minecraft convention.
I don't know much about conventions, but that seems a little weird.
That seems a little harsh.
I mean, is like Comic-Con or, I don't know, Dragon-Con or any of these other conventions like that?
No.
No, I know this kid's at Comic-Con.
So why do you think they instated this rule then?
Because probably it's going to be like naked blocky chicks just everywhere.
God, I want some fucking block tits. Need it.
Dude, I wonder if it's going to be block cosplay. Or it's like someone shows up like, I'm a dirt block. And just doesn't move for 2 days.
That's my fantasy.
So if you're one of the first 500 people to register for Minecon, you get entered to win the ultimate fan experience. So that gives you a three nights of a hotel, VIP seating for the keynote, and classes. So I guess there's going to be classes in this.
Fuck this. You know, I don't want to like one up our discussion later, Justin Fick, about how much I think Jonathan Blow is a piece of shit. But fuck pretentious game designers, man. Oh, the ultimate experience. We're going to teach you how to design games. What the fuck is this?
No, it's probably
teaching you how to design shit in Minecraft.
Right.
Like, here's how you make a monster water trap. Which I would totally attend. it also gets you a meal with Minecraft developer Mojang. So if you want
to he's too cool to. He can't make his own convention.
If you want to get Octomax with Notch, that's what you enter.
Because that's what he eats.
You know what? I'm going to change my Twitter name to Notch. What a pretentious douche! My name is Notch. I make Minecraft.
I like Notch.
I do too. But fuck that guy.
Also, did Notch just have a heart attack there? Is that what he just did?
No, but it's pretentious, right? He is a pretentious game designer.
I don't think so. I don't think he is at all.
Okay, well,
Notch is kind of down to earth, actually. I mean, I've seen.
We'll save this for our discussion here in a moment.
There's a difference between pretentious and filthy fucking rich. Notch is filthy fucking rich.
Oh, those lines are blurry, Justin Fick.
They're not, though. Like, if you read his blog and you read his Twitter or whatever, any like official correspondence he makes, like the difference between him and, you know, your Jonathan
Cliffy
Blows
B.
And you, well, I even think Cliffy B isn't particularly pretentious. He's just like, you know,
you just said on this show that Cliffy B is not pretentious. You can get, you know what, you're fired.
I
wish I could fire you.
Oh my God. I don't think you really know what that word means. Like
fire, hot flames.
I think Ken Levine is pretentious. I don't think Cliffy B is pretentious. Like, Cliffy B says the things that, were I to design Gears of War, I would say these things. Like, if I were excited about the game.
Yeah, you're also kind of like, and that's, I don't want to sound like an asshole to you, William Miller, but you're also in this kind of like elitist game designing club.
Oh, absolutely. Like, right, that's fine.
For lack of a better phrase, you do not think that your shit stinks.
It does not. But in all honesty, like, I think he is just an honestly excitable dude. And he just says what is on his mind, and that's fine. And if, you know, some of it can come off as pretentious or whatever, but it's not particularly highbrow. It's just like, oh yeah, man, we got fucking chainsaw guns. Fine. You know,
chocolate
and peanut butter. That is not pretentious. Pretentious is putting on airs. It's trying to be something that you're not. I think that's what your Jonathan Blows do. That's what, you know.
We're going to get to this in a minute because I really want to have a discussion with Justin Fick where I shit on Jonathan Blow. Because he's going to try and defend him, and I want to shit on him. All right, so we'll get to this in a second. But, William Miller, you got any more news? Or, Justin Fick, is that the end of this news?
That's the end of my shit.
All I had is, the only thing I got is that Rage is going to have a always-on DRM, so you're going to have to be connected all the time for Rage. They're yet another developer to join on this always-on DRM scheme, which...
Wait, do people still buy PC games? Does that still happen?
Apparently.
Do people buy PC games without internet?
Now, I know, that's Justin Fink tried to argue, he was like, oh, this is bullshit, but it's like, who buys PC games without internet these days? I guess it happens sometimes, but I can't imagine...
You buy over the internet, but I mean, you know, just think, for instance, you know, you have a shitty cable modem, and it drops like 3 times a night.
Well, then get a new fucking cable provider! I live in the fucking boonies of Mississippi, and I at least have 2 options for internet providers, alright? Unless you live in fucking, but fuckistan, you've got at least 2 options for internet.
I have 1 option. I'm lucky they're good, but I have 1 option. If they suck, I'm shit out of luck. it's either that or I start getting like fishing line in a tin can and just like throwing shit out my window.
Yeah, dude, internet in the city, it like sucks. I was in Chicago, dude, that internet sucks. Like, phone service and internet are just like, it's stone age in the city for some goddamn reason. Get the shit together. That's what they need to do.
And the South,
all the boonies are getting that nice, delicious fucking Fios, and I'm stuck here with.
Oh yeah, that's
caveman
right.
Caveman cable modem Jones.
That's right. It's because they can't lay the cable for Fios in a city.
And in the South, we have a black net and white net, and if you're rich, you can get the white internet, and it's better than the black internet. And now it's time for releases. Is it time? That's next. Okay. Wayne Miller, go.
No.
I want you to do them all. Wayne is doing them all. You know what? You've been so fucking overdue for releases. You're doing every single fucking one. Do it.
All right. You have to wait till I find it on this. They redesigned the damn site again. I don't know what's going on. Actually, they have not at all.
It's just,
you know what it is.
The listeners have caught you. They know.
If they put a new like advertising scheme on the site, like, you know how they reskin it? William Miller does not know.
No, it's not any different at all.
Well, they got this like axe skin on there.
The
no,
exact
I can't find it.
Same.
I know it
the
is.
The exact fucking same.
Oh, I know. But if to me, it is,
Bastion!
It is totally different. New release. Hang on. I got it. Come on. All right. Next week. This week in releases. We've got Bastion coming out on the PC and Xbox 360. Bastion from Supergiant Games, who still pisses me off because there's already a big, huge games. Come on. Why are you going to name yourself Supergiant Games? Come on.
Dude, I want to make a game company called Big Fucking Games.
Big Fucking
I want
games.
Cock Mountain.
Cock Mountain. It's not even Cock Mountain Games, just Cock Mountain.
What was the tape y'all came up with? Terror
Bone
on Rape
Quest!
Mountain?
Terror on Rape Mountain. It's been a while since you've been here, Wee Miller.
I know. I saw that image and I thought it read Tape Mountain. Terror no. of Tape Mountain. It's like
a mountain. That's where you have to venture into the landfill where all the ET tapes are. That's Tape Mountain.
All right. We got
Coincidentally, it's also Rape Mountain.
It is. All right. We also got El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron. Okay. Look, all right. Don't give me a game I can't pronounce. I'm not going to buy it.
Now, technically, this is coming out on 360 and PS3. What's his name over at Suicide Gamer? Oh, fuck. I wish I could remember his website. Well, you remember William Miller? He came to see us when I came to visit you in Georgia. We drank. It was strange because
we
hung out. Matt, I think his name was.
I just remembered.
Suicidegamer.org, I think, is his site. God, I wish I remembered this.
I don't know.
I drank a lot. But no, but he told me that this game was really good, El Shaddai.
I've heard it's good. I haven't seen a lick of it, but I've heard that it's good. So my sphincter of judgment is closed. I'm not gonna shit on it just yet.
Why do you have terms like the sphincter of judgment?
Because we shit on anything. I just came up with that like 5 minutes ago, sphincter of judgment.
Alright. We've also got No More Heroes, Hero Paradise. It's a paradise for heroes.
Now, is this a re-release of No More Heroes on the PS3? Is that what this is?
I don't know. I can't decide if this is a new one or if this is a remake.
I'm looking at the art here. It looks like the old one, but with new art and better graphics. I could be wrong because I've not done any research, even a little. But it looks like it is. It's the old one with new updated graphics and Wii motion controls.
All right. We've also got From Dust. Now, Justific, I know you know From Dust. What is a From Dust?
From Dust is God game. It's like a cross between like Populous and Black and White.
It's like Peter Molyneux jerked off in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, I talked about this on our new section a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, which Wayne Miller doesn't even know about.
Yeah, which you haven't named yet. It's gonna be a surprise. But I dig it. I mean, I might skip on buying it. Like, I just beat Bastion and I'm going to buy my next XBLA tape.
Can we hit pause for a second? So you beat Bastion. What's it say now that you've totally beaten it?
Oh, I mean, thumbs up. I love it.
All right. I'm going to get on. I got that. Remember that deal? I was like, you could get the mall. I got that shit, but I got to beat the mall first. I got to beat Explosion Man, then the mall, then I got Bastion. That's what's waiting on me downstairs.
No, I really enjoyed Bastion.
All right.
So, but I may skip From Dust and get Shadow Planet first.
Okay.
Because that one's reaching out to me a little more. But I liked From Dust too.
All right. Wayne Miller, close us out here.
All right. We got Age of Empires Online. This actually looks really cool. Sort of a reimagining of Age of Empires on a larger scale with sort of like not really cel shaded, but more cartoony looking graphics. It looks really cool.
Age of Empires, James Bond, 007, Nightfire.
Man, I kind of, you know, me, like, after we stopped the show last week, I don't know if you heard it because fucking Craig Reed's lazy fucking ass. It's not edited yet. But me and Justin Fick were talking about how, man, I forget, like, we've been doing this show so long. Do you remember when we used to give away James Bond 007 Nightfire on this show? Yeah. That is mind-blowing that happened. Like, that's not made up. That actually happened. Yep. We gave away that piece of shit game on this show.
Now the only thing we give away is herpes. Dude, no, I was just watching, I guess, for Bungie Day, July 7th, Bungie released, like, this 20-year, like, retrospective history, like, starting from their old-school days, like, going all the way through Halo and what they're going to be doing next. But they got to the myth section. They showed a picture of the myth box, and standing next to it was none other than Tunzer Dennis.
Whoa.
Oh God!
I was waiting for a Tunter Dennis interview, but it never delivered.
Oh my God! All right, somebody needs to send us that link. All right, if you go online and you find us Tunter Dennis's picture next to Myth 3, I don't know, you get a free PlayStation.
We're back to giving stuff away. You got a free PlayStation.
You get James Bond 007 Nightfire. I'll just send Tunter an email. Dear Tunter.
So we had this contest, right? Do you still have any copies of James Bond 007 Nightfire?
Oh.
Actually, the more I think about that, I'm not even joking. We should totally do that.
God, please, someone email feedback at bestofbroadcastever.com. Oh, it hurts. We need to finish our goddamn fucking releases before I die.
All right, we got Atomic City Adventures, The Case of the Black Dragon, Toy Soldier Cold War, Hunting Unlimited Expansion 3-Pack.
Now can we talk Judgment? Can we talk about Toy Soldiers? This is the last of the XBLA Summer of Arcade, but this looks really cool. I never got into the first Toy Soldier, but this one has Rambo in it, and that counts for a lot in my book.
What kind of game is it?
Well, apparently, the first Toy Soldiers I thought was a lame RTS, but apparently it's a real time strategy. Oh, wait, that's the same thing.
I thought the first one was a turn based strategy.
I thought the first one was turn based, but apparently it's real time and it's a lot of fun. And I never really picked up on the first one, but the second one looks even better. And it's got dudes without shirts, which counts for a lot. What does that say about me? I don't know. You tell me. James Bond, don't set fire.
All right, that's it.
It's time for we'll call it tapes. We'll call our discussion tapes. Does that sound good? It's time for tapes. Now, William Miller, you don't know what tapes is because you've been gone for so long.
I don't know what that is.
Well, we talked about this last show that you were on. I don't want to step on any feelings here, but me and Justin Fick kind of shit on a game that you were a fan of. And so we thought, you know what? We shouldn't do that. Instead, we should just talk about games we've currently played and not judge games that we haven't played. So instead of doing Judgment now, we're doing a section called Tapes, where we talk about whatever games we've played this week.
Okay, I like that.
So, Justin Fick, what are your tapes for this week?
So I kind of blew my tapes load a little bit already. I finished up Bastion.
Okay.
Which which ends very well, and it's got New Game Plus.
Ooh.
So I might even go back through and play it again and max out my dude, but It's got a pretty cool I guess it would be ending. I mean the story really picks up and it gets very cool.
I hope it's not like Jonathan Blow abstract though, like everything is anything, the end.
No, it's got a very real ending. There's, you know, like, because I for a while I was starting to think, you know, for those that have played Bastion, the Bastion would be some sort of like mind construct or something, but no, it's just a little place.
Okay.
So, but I enjoyed it. Like it's got a lot of cool weapons. It's got, you know, a lot of cool skills and a lot of customization you can do. So, I mean, I enjoy it. I would play it again, which says a lot. So, I played through that. About to play through Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet for my next tape.
That game looks amazing. I watched the trailer for that a couple days ago. It looks awesome.
Now me and Jessica talked about how it's a design at this point, while original when it came out is a little derivative, a little repetitious at this point.
Really?
Yeah, the whole silhouette thing has been done. They still do it with a style and a panache that still is very new. Like, for instance, Outland had the silhouette style. Limbo had a silhouette style. Feist had it. So, I mean, there's a lot of games that have used it already. But Shadow Planet does it in a very, I don't know, it's, I guess it's kind of like a Tim Burton meets Looney Tunes kind of style. Like, I don't know, it's really cool the way things move, and the, you know, like the way pipes bulge and do shit, and the way, you know, different, like the, like
is
the different
one thing I like is bulging pipes,
just sort of, yeah, be, yeah, and the way that, you know, like the different plants, like, you know, like slither around the fucking the world and shit. So that'll be my next tape, and then next up on the list, I haven't dove into it yet. You know, I don't know how I haven't done it, but I'm also going to dive into the next EDF.
Oh,
oh Lord!
So I got it sitting here. I haven't cracked it open yet. It's been staring up at me.
A couple of folks at the office are playing that. My friend Matt Core worked on that game.
Nice. Have you even played it all yet, Lee Miller?
Dude, I love the first one. I played that with Blake Buck a little bit, and I played it when I was at Harmonix. No, wait, maybe it was a little, I think it was in college I played that most. God, that game is so good. And then I haven't played the next one. I've seen it being played. There's lots of bugs. I don't know how I like bugs. I like big ships better than bugs. But
well, the bugs come out of ships, though. You should be okay.
No, okay. Well, as long as that's the case. Looks fun to me. I don't know. They're what's it called? They're the vicious engine or whatever. Like, the game doesn't look that pretty, but it seems like,
well, neither did the original
for that. Yeah,
the original wasn't a spectacular slam dunk of visual design.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, visually it was good enough.
This is supposed to be their flagship product for this new tech they made. They spent so much time making, and it's kind of lackluster. The one thing I will say about this game, though, is that it's started at a very, it's like a $40 price point.
Yeah,
and I like that. You know, it's probably the temptation was probably there to make it.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because it seems like we talked about how, like, You Don't Know Jack and a couple of other titles have come out at this like $30-$40 price point. Why is that so rare and strange in the video games industry that to go less than the 60 standard or the 50 standard for pricing? And it seems like there's money to be made there. And like, if you released a game for less than the full standard price, quote unquote, you could make more money. But so few people do that. Initially,
I would say there's two things going against it in terms of perception anyway. I mean, the first is, on the side of the publisher, if we release at $40 instead of $60, that's one third less revenue potentially. And the other thing is, since all, you know, pretty much all games now are $60 on the Xbox, PlayStation platforms, you know, like on up, you know, up in the shelf anyway, you know, if a game comes out at $40, it's kind of like, you know, well, why, you know, what's wrong with it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Now, to digress for a moment here, this is sort of an aside, but I wanted to talk about, for a second, talking about game sales, about a website called VG Charts with a Z at the end, because they're real journalists, VGCharts.com. Okay, now I was looking up, because I was thinking about the same thing you were just talking about, Justin Fick, about a game that's like pretty good, but you don't really know what its sales are, right? I was thinking about Child of Eden. I was a big fan of Child of Eden, right? I'm still a big fan of Child of Eden, but I thought, you know, that game's probably going to sell very well. And so I looked up online, and I thought,
probably
I wonder
going
what its
to
sales
or probably
are.
Not going to.
It's probably not going to sell very well, because Rez didn't sell very well. And it seems to make sense that probably Child of Eden is not going to be a slam dunk in terms of sales. So I went and Googled childofeden.com, and I found vgcharts.com. Now, I read a little about this site, and I thought, oh, that's cool, because they give you, like, month-to-month, almost, in fact, they even have week-to-week sales of an individual game, right? And so I thought, that's really cool. I can see how well Child of Eden is sold week after week, and you can extrapolate information of that. But now I thought, how do they get their numbers? So I clicked their about page, and I didn't really see any data, any hard evidence. Then I did a little Googling, and apparently they're trying to establish themselves as an alternative to the NPD numbers, but their shit's largely made up. And so is, I mean, and they would argue, so is NPD. NPD gets their numbers, that's also kind of largely made up. They go from like Walmart and large retailers, and they take like, you know, 60% of their information and kind of extrapolate it to a whole. But But, but I read this long, really long article that really just took a big shit on them about how they get their data. But it was interesting to note how, like, these guys want to be like NPD, and it's important that there are alternatives to NPD, but that they don't really have the power or clout or numbers that a company like NPD does, and they can't really prove their numbers even a little bit. And in terms of game sales, like, I don't know. It's weird to me that I can't find sales figures on Child of Eden. And if you go to the site, the numbers that you're reading are extrapolated from a very small, like, sample of information. They say that 0.12 million copies have been sold. And it's like, how made up is that? Probably largely. You know, and it's like, I don't know. I just wish we had real data from real publishers and could really watch trends in the industry better than shitty fucking sites like VG Charts. And your fucking, your website ends with a Z. You know what? You're not a real journalist. Get out. Anyway, I'm sorry to digress for a moment, but I just wanted to share this shitty story. Don't ever go there for, like, real information, but for estimates, it's okay.
All right.
What the fuck were we talking about? I don't know.
We were talking about tapes. What you been playing this week, Blake Buck?
Okay, now, William Miller, you better get some tapes ready. You've had some time to prepare, okay? I've only got one tape for you this week. Maybe two. I got one tape, and it's not even a good tape. It's a bad tape. Honestly, it's a really bad tape. It's called Ninja Fishing. It's on the iPhone. And this can build into our discussion. Justin Fick, calm down. This can build into our discussion.
Clearing my throat. Getting ready for this.
It's basically a combination of about four or five iPhone games into one, and they're calling it a new thing. So you're a ninja sitting in a boat, and then you cast your fishing line. You want to go down as deep as you can, and then you want to catch fish, and then get as many as you can on the way back up, and then you slice them when they come above the ocean or above the surface, and that's the game. And in a sense, I like it because it's, you know, it's a combination of three or four different iPhone games that I kind of like. And it builds on the upgrade system where, you know, you play and you get some upgrades and, you know, you can do better. But at the same time, Justin Fick, not to steal your thunder of shitting on this, because I dare say that's what you're going to do. But I can see how it's totally oriented around the, like, upgrade progression. There's, like, the main mechanic of the game is upgrading so you can get higher scores.
No, that is not why this game is so shitty. Now, I'll leave it to Justin. Oh, okay. That is not why.
No. Yeah, I'm going somewhere completely different.
All right. Well, then we'll lay it on there.
All right. So,
because, I mean, it's kind of fun, but I understand why you would hate it.
Well, there's another reason, and it kind of gets my blood boiling a little bit. But this game, Ninja Fishing, is a near one-for-one copy of a game that already exists by an indie developer called Vlambeer. So I don't know if you guys remember Vlambeer, but we talked about Super Crate Box a while ago.
Sure.
That was developed by Vlambeer. They also made a game called Radical Fishing, and it was a Flash game, and they licensed it out to a couple sites, and it was wicked fucking fun.
It was awesome.
It's basically
okay.
You know,
wait, what did you do in this game?
You already said it, Blake Buck. So
it's literally a copy of the game I just described.
So the difference that Ninja Fishing makes is they took out your fisherman and they replaced him with a ninja. So in Radical Fishing, you know, you get a guy that, you know, according to the game, he fishes like a man, and you cast your line, you do exactly the same thing you do in, you know, well, in Ninja Fishing, you do the exact same thing you do in Radical Fishing. So you try to, like, dodge fish on the way down. And then you bring fish up, and then when they hit the top of the water, they all fling up into the air, and you just fucking skeet shoot them out of the air with, like, Uzis and rocket launchers and machine guns and whatever you want to buy. Fucking hilarious as shit.
That sounds largely the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ninja Fishing is an exact one-for-one copy, except the mechanic, instead of shooting, they did Fruit Ninja.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's got the exact same power-ups, the exact same, you know, the exact same mechanics. It's got the boost. It's got the exact same upgrades for the boost. It's thievery. It's disgusting. I mean, I made a couple of very venomous tweets toward GameNauts, the people who actually put out
right
Ninja Fishing. But I mean, it's disgusting. Because I mean, you know, you like, and as an indie developer, there's very little you can do against shit like this because, you know, I mean,
High. It's highly rated in the App Store.
Yeah,
at the moment.
I mean, and that's kind of discouraging too, because not only is this a ripoff of Radical Fishing, but Vlambeer is actually working on an iOS version of Radical Fishing that will now be looked at as a derivative work because these assholes stole, you know, just basically ripped their game off. So, you know, and it's a shitty situation just because, you know, I mean, I firmly believe that you shouldn't be able to copyright a game idea. You know, or like a game mechanic, rather, is what I mean to say.
Sure.
You know, you should be able to do that because the game industry would just be a fucking clusterfuck if you did. But the problem is that really opens up shit like this. You know, people that just say, oh, hey, you know, here's this indie game that very few people know about. It's fun as fuck. We're just going to rip it off completely, copy every last mechanic and then just, replace sort of like that indie style with this completely inoffensive Saturday morning cartoon bullshit.
Now, Justin Fink,
I'm upset.
I agree with you 100%, and I agree that everything you just said is true. However, do you know who brought this game to market and made it successful, and made it successful in the eyes of iPhone game purchasers?
Yeah, the company is called GameNauts.
GameNauts. GameNauts marketed this game better. In fact, GameNauts marketed this game better, like 1,000 times better than whoever fucking indie who gives a fuck because you're dead. All right. I don't want to say that marketing is everything in the game industry, but you know what? In cases like this, it fucking is. And I don't
marketing is huge, but it's, you know,
they did this right. They did it good. They got it exposure and now it's successful. And they've
made an enemy out of pretty much every indie developer out there.
But so fucking what? Right. Like this.
I mean, yeah, I mean, from their opinion, yeah, so fucking
no,
what?
No, from any opinion. This game design.
I'm sure they're sleeping fine on their big fucking piles of money.
This game design exists, right? Okay, you could say I copied you, and that's true, but whatever. They took this game design, and they made it successful. They made it marketable. They made it appeal. Whatever. You can say that they're cunts or they're whatever, but they made it work, and Indie Bloobadoo didn't, all right? And they should be rewarded for that. I mean, I understand it's a bullshit piece of crap thing to do, but that's what the video game industry is about, in a sense, is about, like, getting your ideas to other people.
I agree with that. Really, the only, you know, the only defense an indie developer has against that is to make it first. You know, I mean, there is a little bit of responsibility on, you know, the original indie developers. You know, you have this really fun game, and, you know, it's, you know, I mean, just... The iOS is a hugely lucrative market, so of course there's going to be opportunistic, money-hungry scumbags that are going to copy every single good fucking game they see.
You can't blame them entirely. You know, you can't say...
No. It's like the only thing you can really do against that is, you know, if you have a good game, make it for fucking iOS as soon as possible.
I think the lesson here is fuck Flash. That's it. Like, why the fuck? I mean, your game would be on the iOS right now if you just manned up and wrote it in iOS.
I'm just saying, okay, I agree. That's what I'm
like,
saying.
It'd
yeah.
be fine.
William Miller, you're right. And it's okay. The indie developer themselves has some blame, and so do these guys for being opportunistic and just stealing ideas. There's mutual blame here.
I wouldn't put blame on the indie.
Yeah, I fucking would. Quit babying these fuckers. They should have marketed their game better, and if they had, they would have made as much money as these fuckers. But they didn't because they were fucking lazy.
I mean, the thing is, they were busy working on another game, blah blah blah. But
it doesn't matter.
The thing is, like, to a point, it's like, yeah, it's like really the only defense you have is to make it yourself. You know, don't leave a game out there for, you know, fucking jackals to find and then say, oh look, you know, here's this really fun game that isn't getting exposed. Let's just copy it one for one because, you know, no one will notice. You know, because no one's heard of these guys. So I mean, you know, it's like the only defense is to do that yourself. So I mean, it's not like it's, you know, it's not like the indie developers are bad for not doing that. It's like
if not equal blame, they at least bear some blame for doing a poor job at marketing than they should have. Because if they had, this wouldn't have happened. Marketing is just as important as design.
They kind of left that game out there in the sun while they worked on, you know, Super Crate Box. They're working on Serious Sam Random Encounter. So they've kind of just sort of left their game out, you know, just for anyone to find. So, you know, of course people are going to find it and rip it off. You know, I mean, it's like for the iOS market, it's the point where it's like, if you have a really fun game, you can just assume that someone is going to rip it off. So you have
just
to
like,
do
just
that
like Minecraft. There are about four or five Minecraft clones on the in the top 200 iOS games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and that piece of shit Fortress Craft has sold 1 million copies.
Yeah.
On Xbox Live indie games.
Right.
So, I mean, you know.
But, I mean, I don't want to say like, oh, well, you should put it out day one. But I mean, you know what? Yeah, you should have. All right. If you have something and you believe in it, make it sellable and do it from day one. Don't, you know, la-di-da and we're going to work on blah, blah, blah and blee-ba-blue. Get your shit together and sell your shit before other people do.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, that's the only defense, because the problem is because you can't copyright a game mechanic, you know, this is legal. You know, what this company did is legal. I mean, the only problem is it violates every single paragraph of the DBAD license.
And there are not many paragraphs in that license.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only one paragraph, four words. Don't be a dick.
My point is, you know what? You made the game and you let it kind of falter. You let it fall by the wayside. These guys found it. And maybe they stole it, but they made it sellable, they marketed it, and they did it right. And you know what? That was your fucking job, and you're the assholes missing out now. And I'm sorry that's how it works out, but you know what? If somebody makes your game and takes the mechanics and designs it better, then they fucking deserve the money.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, there is a lot of responsibility.
Also, black people shouldn't be allowed to vote, because apparently I'm taking the hardest line stance ever.
I mean, you know, like there is responsibility on the indie developers to get the game out there and sell it themselves, but it doesn't mean that game nods aren't a bunch of cunts.
True. True.
Both can be true. So, I mean, yes, it's a sad situation. Vlambeer kind of dropped the ball and lost out on a big opportunity because, you know, fucking Ninja Fishing is up there. You know, I think it was like number 5 or number 7.
Get your shit together.
And,
that's,
you know,
the end of the,
no
the end
doubt,
of the day.
There's going to be games that rip off Ninja Fishing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Vlambeer probably started a genre of iOS games, and they're going to be late to the party and cashing it, and that sucks.
Mm. So Ninja Fishing, 10 out of 10. Go purchase it now on iOS.
0 out of 10. Sphincter of Judgment. Open wide. I'm shitting potatoes of judgment on this game.
All right, my startup disc is getting full. We gotta finish this show.
I'm taking a Duke Nukem Forever on it.
Let's go to feedback. Okay, here's our. We only got one. This is from UncoolMike00.
Over the years, your feedback section has been devoted to a legitimate question, comment, and a nice big shit on Blake Buck, courtesy of yours truly, William Miller. Glad I'm back here to be able to do that, y'all.
Fuck you, get out.
You're fucking homeless. Shut up.
Talk. I live with my mom and dad. Yeah.
To make it rain, too.
I'll make this shit rain.
I work for the Weather Channel. Now, I'll be the first to admit my frustrations at the fact that your content is sporadic at times. But as of late, you've been pretty damn consistent. This is a free service you provide and continue to do so, despite people shitting on you 100% of the time. This is true. But every week when my feed updates, I get genuinely excited. So this email is to let you know that, all kidding aside, you are very much appreciated. In a sea of bird shit, you, Mr. Blake Buck, are the white speck on top. Thank you.
Yeah!
Keep it coming.
Yeah!
Uncool Mike 00, Jacksonville, Florida. P.S. Blake Buck's smart, and he drew a little ASCII penis right there. It's two equal signs long.
You know what? I'm gonna fake these emails from now on and just send myself one of them a week so I don't murder myself.
Dude, you know what? Like a lot of shows and books and games, they all have like testimonials. We need to have a testimonials, and the first one is, in a sea of bird shit, you, Mr. Buck, are the white speck on top. We need to have best damn testimonials ever.
I like that.
All right, fucking A. That does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
Good show, Blake.
It's a good show. I'm exhausted.
I cannot believe that William Miller is here. I thought that you were, like, dead forever.
I'm back. Don't worry.
Are you? I feel like you said, I'm back, and then you're not going to be here next week.
Well, you're probably right.
If you like to send us
any feedback. It's been a long 30 years in this podcast without you, William Miller.
It's like dog years on this podcast.
If you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Or call the listener line 845-BATTLE-9, which we would prefer to your emails, even though they're one. Because I am the white speck. Thank you, Steven Tyler, lead singer of Aerosmith. And I guess from all of us here at Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time. And fuck William Miller! What a piece of shit!
Alright, I'm out for the next 30 years. Y'all have fun doing this. I'm gonna be making millions of dollars at my job. Give me that black box full of money, baby.
It's called podcasting.
Yeah. Look, y'all don't even know.